This is a Chazar recording for the daily Mishnah Berurah learning. It should be as a Refuah Shlema for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya, starting with Siman Beis Seif Vav. Also, Leilech Bekom Zekufa Velo Yeleich Arba Amos Begilui Harosh Veivdok Nekavam The Rama Adds Veichasech Hogufa Velo Yeleich Yachif Veargil Atzmal Liponos Boker Veerusus Rizus Unekius. Finishing up those things that a person should be careful about in the morning when getting ready. Also, Leilech Bekom Zekufa. It's inappropriate for a person to walk so straight up and haughty in such a way that it's the Gemara. He's it's as if he's contesting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should always have the aim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon him, and therefore also Velo Yelich Arba Amos Begilui Haros. The Gemara says that the Amoraim, one of the Amoraim's mothers, would always make sure his head was always covered, such that he should always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above him. Those two things go together, and a person should not walk more than 4 Amos with his head uncovered. Mishnah Berurah writes out, Midas Chasidus, it's better even if the person could do it even less than Arba Amos, with his head covered, and even at night also. There's a question whether that's Midina or Mita Minag. The modern poskim write that whether it's Midina or Mita Minag nowadays, that's the symbol of a firm Jew, and therefore it's certainly required. What is considered to be Gilui Aros, the Gemara doesn't say, the Shulchan Aruch does not record. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's so long as a person would say, oh, look, that person's head is covered. Rav Avadi Yosef writes, that's the first Shuvah in Igros Moshe, Aleph. Rav Avadi Yosef writes, it's in the first Shuvah in Chelek Dalet of Yechav Das, that the person should have his head covered such that it's covered from all sides. That would be the minimum amount. The Yivduk Nekavah, the person should check himself and go to the restroom regularly for hygienic and purposeful reasons. And then when it comes to Gilui Haros, what counts as a covering? Generally a cloth or something else. The question is, does a hand count as a covering? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that certainly for fulfilling this ideal that a person shouldn't walk without his head covered, so then maybe a hand would work. But for purposes of brachos or for tefillah, a person's own hand does not work. Mishnah Berurah recommends you use a sleeve. He uses a cloth or something else. A person has nothing available, can use a sleeve or something else. Perhaps somebody else's hand would work because it's a different body, but it's best to always try to be careful about this. And the Mishnah Berurah insists that we also teach our children. It's one of the earliest things we do. We teach them to wear a kippah to cover their heads. A person should be covered, shouldn't be uncovered when he walks outside. The Mishnah Berurah writes out that, quoting the Gemara, that Shiim Koradam Kol Mashiyeshal Vidach Minalam Laraglav, that Chazal encouraged the person to make sure they have shoes no matter what and to sell whatever they need in order to have shoes, both for physical hygienic reasons as well as seemingly more spiritual reasons. The Argilat will be punished by Arabs who is resistant to the Kius. Shulchan Aruch has this insistence upon using the restroom regularly to make sure that a person remains clean, to be able to say brachos all the time. Also for health reasons, something that is hard perhaps for modern day people to understand with our easy use and easy accessibility to the restrooms. And so that brings us to Siman Gimel, which is Hanhagas Beis Akisa, how to behave in the restroom. Shulchan Aruch quotes this idea that a person has to excuse himself in front of the malachim that are supposed to be walking with us at all times, that we need to use the restroom because we're human and we have physical needs, and we have to apologize that we need to go there, and as soon as we're done, we will return. But nowadays, we don't assume that we have malachim walking along with us all the time, and therefore we don't have to excuse ourselves from them. A person requires tzinius even in the bathroom and shouldn't uncover himself until he sits. Two people shouldn't go together because that's inappropriate. That's not considered to be tzinius. Two people shouldn't be conversing in the bathroom. That's inappropriate. The Mishnah Berurah writes that perhaps until a person is actually using is on the toilet and using it, perhaps talking is not a problem. Rav Avadia Yosef writes among the first Chuvas that he thinks any type of discussion whatsoever in the bathroom is inappropriate. The door should be closed. The person requires tzinius as well in the bathroom. The Gemara and the Mishnah Berurah here quotes it that the women who go to the bathroom, the Chachamim said that they should be talking to each other so that people will know that they're there to avoid yichud problems and to avoid any perhaps potential even inappropriate activities. Gimelim Rotsa Lemashmish with Yatabas, but Sora Bekesam Liftochna Kavi, Mashmish Kodim Shiyeshiv, Vilay Mashmish Achar Shiyeshiv, and Nisha Kasha Lachafim. If a person needs to somehow stimulate himself to be able to use the toilet properly, it's best to do so while standing instead of sitting because it's bad for Kshafim. It's probably not the most hygienic, but it's also bad for Kshafim, generally translated as witchcraft or other type of spiritual ailments. Person should be careful how much he uncovers himself even when using the restroom, as the minimum amount in front and in back. If a person needs to needs to relieve himself, and it's in an open place where there are no walls outside. A person should be facing north-south, but should not be facing east-west. Mishnah points out that the Shechina is considered to be found in the west, and therefore it's inappropriate to either have one's back to the Shechina and to be relieving oneself, or to have one's face to the Shechina and be relieving oneself. Sorry, the Rama writes, that it seemingly ends on that urination is not an Isser. It's inappropriate to sleep with one's head and feet in an east-west direction if he is with his wife, presumably that they would be together. It's on that even if a person's alone, his wife is not there, should not be sleeping east-west either, but rather should be facing north-south. The Mishnah Berurah points out, and many poskim point out, that the Zohar seems to indicate the opposite, that it's specifically appropriate to be facing east it's specifically appropriate to be facing east-west and not north-south. The Gruff famously had said that every one of these seemingly stira, so seeming contradiction between the Zohar and Shulchan Aruch can be resolved. He thought this was not a stira, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, and the Mishnah Berurah here quotes, that the Gruff himself he says we should follow the Shulchan Aruch because that's what he himself did, and he thought that the Zohar could be interpreted in that way. And therefore, there are people to have different practices. Zayin, Sofim Vilifnim. If a person needs to urinate from Mihat Sofim Vilifnim, the Harat Sofim is one of the mountains around Yerushalayim. So, from a place close to the base Hamikdash in a radius around, the Lo Yeshiv upon the Klavei Hakodesh, we're going to be facing the Kodesh Kodashim. Rather, Ella Yisilotzaf in the Dorm to be facing the other direction. Oh, he's like a Kodesh Hatzadim, or somehow avoid having to be in front of it. It's inappropriate to have the base Hamikdash in front of a person while they are relieving themselves. If a person is relieving themselves in an open area, but there is some type of offense, there is something going on over there that's some type of tznius, then he should be able to relieve himself immediately. But if he's in a completely open place, then he should distance himself from so another person would not be able to see him, which is just a violation of tznius. The Mishnah Berurah points out that a person would hear him. That's not considered a violation of tznius. It's the sight of a person relieving themselves that is a tznius problem. Person shouldn't sit too quickly, shouldn't apply too much pressure, because these things are not healthy for the digestive system. Person should not clean himself with the right hand, the Mishnah Berurah points out, because for most people, for righties at the very least, they put their tefillin on their left hand, they tie their tefillin with their right hand, and therefore it's inappropriate to use the fingers and the hand that tie tefillin for cleansing oneself, Mishnah Berurah therefore points out, and therefore, while a person's using the left hand, they should avoid using the left middle finger around which we tie the resuas of the tefillin. Many modern posts came up right that this does not apply nowadays. That Tzitz Eliezer points out that since the minhag is to use toilet paper, that the whole thing is obviated, and therefore this is not the din that is quoted by the modern poskim. A person shouldn't use pottery to clean himself because of kshafim, the same as above, and not with dried grasses. They didn't have toilet paper at the time, they had to improvise. Dried grasses or anything else that could burn, he says that's not good for health purposes. Not something, even rocks, which was common, that somebody else has used, for disease-related purposes. The Rama is on the Achshav Shabbat Pate Kisos Shalano Inam Basad Nalug with Kaneach Becheres Vechinagul Kaneach with the Rosh Hashalaybo Veino Mazik Upol Chazima on the Badavar. He says nowadays that the bathrooms are no longer outside, but they're inside housed places, that these concerns don't apply. Yud Beis Yipanah Bitzinus by Lailah Kmo Bayom. When we mentioned before in Shalom Aruch that when a person believes himself goes to the restroom, they still have to maintain Sneus standards. So that's true whether it's during the daytime or during the nighttime. Sneeze is not just a concern that other people might see. It's a way that we behave. It's a way of presenting ourselves in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person should not urinate while standing, because if he does so, there might be droplets that get on his feet or his shoes. Or to make sure that he's on an elevated surface so that there should be no splashing on his feet or on his shoes. Or into some type of a dirt, so there shouldn't be any splashing. The concern is as follows. The concern is that if a person should see droplets of urine on a person's shoes, they might think that that person is considered to be a kurt shafcha, or a ptsuadak, or has some reproductive or related issue, such that they would not be able to have children. and therefore the urination doesn't come out in the normal, natural, straight fashion, and therefore they have an issue. If so, and that person has children, somebody might come to think that these children do not belong to this person, and they are illegitimate. So as to protect the yichus of the children, we are very vigilant about this nowadays with modern toilets. This is effectively not much of an issue, but it's still something to keep in mind when it occurs. When a person does need to urinate, they need to be careful not to cause any type of arousal. And therefore, if a person needs to assist with their hands in any way, it must be only towards the edge, towards the tip, because otherwise it might cause too much arousal. Unless a person is married, the idea of a person is married, such that he's able to be with his wife, and therefore he has a somewhat lower threshold, as Mishnah Berurah points out. However, if at that point he can't be with his wife because his wife is neither, she's not around, then that would be prohibited as well. But even a married person should be trying to be as careful as possible not to cause any unnecessary arousal. And therefore, even any unmarried person can try to assist with his hands in some way where it doesn't cause any arousal. And tezayin lo utar lanasi lechos ba'ama elo hashin. Even for a married person, it's only to assist in proper urination, because we're so concerned with the with what people might think about the yichus of a person's children. Aval itchak echlo, but it's only for the purpose of making sure to protect us, but not for any other reason at all. Yudzayin, filling out the details of going to the restroom. Hamash in the cup of over mishum bal teshaktsu. Chazal write that if a person needs to relieve themselves and does not, they are violating the Torah prohibition of bal teshaktsu, that it causes a person harm, and therefore it needs to be avoided. And therefore, we saw that Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in the previous sermon were quite insistent that a person make a regular habit of using the restroom. Remember again that the restrooms were not in easily accessible facilities. It required some type of scheduling organization to make sure that each person would be able to use them in an efficient manner. Simen Dalid is Dine Netilas Yadayim. Seif Aleph writes, Yerchatz Yadav Yivarach al Netilas Yadayim. A person should wash his hands and make the bracha al Netilas Yadayim. The Ramah adds on, Yesh Omrim Gam Asher Yotzer, Afil Lo Asat Zracha V'chein Hagu, to make the bracha of Asher Yotzer, even if a person has not gone to the restroom. We'll see the halachos of Asher Yatzar a little bit later. Mishnah Berurah quotes, there are two reasons that we wash our hands in the morning, and Shulchan Aruch then adds on another one later. The Rosh writes that since at night our hands are Yadayim Askaniosim, we don't know exactly what they touched or where they were, therefore it's they're dirty, and therefore in order to wake up in the morning, our first thing we're going to do is to daven, that the person should wash his hands at Chazal, because they want to establish that as a din, made a bracha on it as well. The Rashba writes that Achar Hashena, we're made, after we wake up, we're made into a Birya Chadasha, whereas if we're a new creation, and therefore as a new creation, we need to wash our hands in the morning, and we should be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created us each and every morning, and therefore we should wash our hands. The Mishnah Berurah writes out that we can make the bracha immediately after washing. You don't have to wait until, or certainly, you may make the bracha before drying the hands. This is in distinction to a Netilas Yadayim that should be made before eating. We'll see comparisons and contrasts between washing in the morning and washing before food. This is one of the differences, that certainly there is no issue of waiting before or after drying one's hands. Also, some of the Mishnah Berurah quotes are careful to only make the bracha after they've dried their hands. He also points out, the Gemara says, that a person should also wash his face and hands and his mouth and his feet every single morning. He says, nowadays we have a practice, we wear shoes, and therefore washing feet is not necessary before tefillah. Moving on to the issue of Asher Yatzar, that it's an idea that if we're made into a Birya Chadash, or we're made new each morning, then we say the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Again, the details we'll find in later Simon, that thank Hashem for creating us in a wonderful way, and for our bodies, and we say Avakai Neshama, for our neshamas that were recreated each and every morning. It's a whole discussion. How could you say that in the morning if a person didn't go to the bathroom? And he quotes one opinion that maybe we can say it if a person woke up in the middle of the night and had to go to the restroom, and he says in the morning, maybe that covers having gone to the night, but he points out that it shouldn't be. He says the best is to do is to try to relieve oneself in the morning, and therefore to say Asher Yatzar thereafter. He says a person should wash his hands first. We'll see a little bit later in the next couple of Simat Seifim that a person should not touch himself in any area until he's washed his hands, and therefore he says wash one's hands first, and then go to the restroom, then relieve oneself, and then wash one's hands again, as after using the restroom, and then the best would be to make the bracha of Antilas Yadayim and Asher Yatzar at that point. Maim Hapsul Antilas Yadayim L'Suda, K'sher Antilas Yadayim L'Tfila. Water that is not allowed to be used for Netilas Yadayim before a meal may be used for Netilas Yadayim in the morning, although there are those who say not to make a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch will detail which type of water is inappropriate to be used for Netilas Yadayim Lasuda. He just uses it for the morning. That's for cleanliness purposes. That's for preparing oneself to eat. And therefore, this is for a completely different purpose. It's to either prepare oneself for davening, or to recognize that we're at Birya Chadasa, or we'll see in the Siman later, right, that to remove Rach Ra, the water has a less serious threshold that has to be met in order to be qualified for this, and therefore it qualifies for Netilas Yadayim in the morning. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, when the Shulchan Aruch says, oh, that there's one opinion that says you do not make a bracha, he says you don't make the bracha of al Netilas Yadayim, you still make the bracha of al Nekiyas Yadayim, but he writes that the Achronim write that you make al Netilas Yadayim, even if you're using water that would not be used for Netilas Yadayim for a Suda. Sif Beis, Yidakti Klara Tzalei Mayim Shalosh Pa'am L'Havir Ruach Ra Shashar Aleim. This is the third reason that we have to wash hands in the morning. Gemara in Shabbos writes that there is a Ruach Ra, an evil spirit, a bad spirit that descends on the hands at night, and therefore we need to remove it in the morning. To do that, Mr. Ruach points out, we have to wash Yadayim L'Seirugin, right, left, right, left, right, left, and not necessarily, not three in the row on each side. Quotes, the Gra thought that there should be a fourth Netila, three to each remove the Ruach Ra, and then a fourth to remove the water remove the Ruach Ra, that shouldn't be there either. Mr. Barroso points out that if it was just Mishum the Ruach Ra, we wouldn't make a bracha, and therefore we needed the two extra opinions of the Rush and the Rashba to make a bracha on it. So it's good to wash a person's mouth, he points out one more time. The Gemara points out, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, that it's inappropriate for a person to touch food, particularly before they wash their hands in the morning, because of the Ruach Ra. He later writes that if a person does touch a food before they wash hands, so then perhaps if he can, then that food should be washed three times, just like the hands should be washed three times after waking up in the morning to remove the Ruach Ra, that if that food could be washed three times, that would be fine. The modern post can write that the food will get destroyed in washing or cannot be washed, say it's a liquid, let's say it's a fruit or a soft fruit or something like that, then it's not necessary, and this only would apply to those who have the mitzvah of washing hands in the morning, as opposed to non-Jews. Sif Gimel, lo yigabi yada kodem netila lapev lo lachotem lo lazneim lo lainayim. Before washing hands, a person should not touch his mouth, his nose, his ears, or his eyes. The Gemara says that the Ruach Ra can damage them. Dalet, afilu misha natal yadav, lo yamash mish b'fiat habas, tamim p'neshem b'yaso lidei tachtonios, that even after a person washes their hands, they should not touch, they should not touch themselves where, in the rectum when they go to the restroom, because that can cause a problem. Invites all sorts of bacteria. Not something Shulchan Aruch points out, but perhaps that's what they were getting at. A person shouldn't also touch too much a place where they had bloodletting done, because it makes it worse. When a person touches a wound or an open surface of any type, then they can invite bacteria into that area, and it can cause a problem. Also, a person shouldn't touch a barrel of beer or other. Or other type of alcoholic beverage, because the touching it is not good for it. In distinction again to the Netilas Yadayim that a person needs to make before eating food, where a revius of water is necessary. Here, a revius is not necessary. You have to remember that obtaining water in the morning was not simple. With modern plumbing, we don't. It's so easy for us to do, but beforehand it was not. And if there was a limited amount of water, particularly in the morning before people were ready to get to work or ready to go out and get more water, so they would have to share it among many people. And therefore, as long as a person can wash their hands three times, that would be sufficient. The Mishnah points out if we can have a revius, that would be better. We try to wash our hands up to the wrist for the Netilas Yadayim in the morning. If we cannot, then we wash our hands only up to the knuckle, meaning where the hand connects to the fingers. And presumably, if a person only has a limited amount of water, that's what they should try to do as well. It's good if a person can to try to be careful about all of those things with Netilas Yadayim in the morning, like there, just as we are careful with Netilas Yadayim before a meal. But they are not ma'akev. They're all right. So if a person doesn't have a proper kli, meaning if the cup is a hole in it or it's broken, in which case that would not be a kasher Netilas Yadayim for a meal. It's nonetheless a kasher Netilas Yadayim for the morning. And so too, do you need to have another person pouring it on you? Can you have some other means of doing it? That would be acceptable as well, because it's again only to remove the Ruach Ra, where the standard is lower. However, if a person can be makbid on all of these things, then tavo alehem be'racha. Have a wonderful week of learning.